Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, let's notice the word of God. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that your anointing of your Holy Spirit will be upon your servant, upon your people, Lord. Help us to receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to take the title of the sermon today from the last verse that we read. And there's a script part in there that says, no room. And so when they came to Jesus, or when Mary and Joseph came to the city where they were at, Bethlehem, there was no place for them, no room in the inn. So I want to talk about no room today. And a few years ago, I was driving into Amarillo, Texas, and that's yella in Spanish, Amarillo, if that helps you any. And there was a motel that says, it'll do, motel. And I can recall they had all vacancies. And so there was room for you if you wanted to stay there. But God makes room for everything that's his will. And in our former sanctuary over here, a few years ago, we had a Russian man speak. He was from School of Christ International. He was converted Russian. And he spoke over there, and we had crowded to get in there because we had a lot of people. And he got up and said, right here in the state of America, said that congregation did seat about 100. He said, in a place like this in Russia, it'd seat about 300 Russians. And so there would be room for everybody there, he said. But here, as we come to our story here, is a time and a place where travelers came with rooms. And they were to be registered here for their purposes to support the Roman government. And no doubt they were going to pay taxes and things of this nature. I don't know if they were Democrats or not, but they might have been. But this time, all the rooms were taken. There were no vacancies. And so our Savior, the light of the world, would be born in a stable. And so, first let's look. There was no room for the Son of God. Little did they know that that night, the hope of all the world would be born there in a lowly stable in Bethlehem. And if people were gathered here to learn of the taxes, they would be charged by Rome. And it was a time when everybody went to their city to be registered, and so that they would know who they were while they were there. And so they went to take care of business, basically. But little did they know, in this very night, deity would condescend to humanity. I mean, God would come down to where man was. Amen. And God, who created all things, would limit himself to a human body. And that is something, that God would indwell a human body. The Bible tells us, Christ, referring to Christ, John 1:14, the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know that Jesus came down and became humanity. The Bible says, Hebrews 7:25, such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. So we know that deity condescended to humanity. Jesus came down to where we are. And God arranged this, that God would take on a human body and limit himself to that. You know, even in the Old Testament, in the dedication of the temple, even Solomon said, Lord, the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. But yet that God would come down and condescend and conform himself in a human body to be with us for his purposes, his plan. This was a creator. Amen. Jesus, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so Christ and Father, Son, Holy Spirit were all involved in that. And so the Creator, the one who controls all the movements of the planets and through the universe and creations we don't even know about, he came down. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." So we know that there's nothing besides God. And this Jesus that came was born in Bethlehem's manger that day. He was a God. This is who the God was talking about that created all things. Amen. And so we know that Father, Son, Holy Spirit were here involved in all of this. Praise God, you cannot separate them. One God in three persons, they are. Amen. But you see, God made room for us. Praise the Lord. And it's unbelievable to me, not unbelievable, but it's in Scripture, how that God, this God of all creation that created universes that we know nothing about, would condescend to us. You say, well, is there life on other planets? I don't know. I haven't been around. I haven't been there. I don't think you have either. That's not for me to decide. God knows. God created earth for humanity. I know that. In the book of the Old Testament, the book of Job, one fellow called it Job. Said I never did try out for a Job. But anyway, in the book of Job, Job went through suffering things. Scholars believe it's about a year time in Job's sufferings here. But finally, God began to talk to him and answered him. And God said, "Now, Job, I'm going to ask you some questions. You're going to answer me. Okay? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? Where were the foundations fastened? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" And listen, we're talking about the God of creation here now. They came to Bethlehem as Christ. Amen. And it says here about him, who shut in the sea with doors. You see the vast oceans across our planet. When it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said to the sea, "This far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop." Let me tell you something, friend. God has everything in his control, all the planets and all their orbits and everything and things that we don't even know about. He knows all these things. Amen. And he built the earth and set it upon nothing. We're talking about God, but this God came down to us and he made room for us. Praise the Lord. And so God made room for you and I to have hope. For without Christ, there is no hope. The hope of those dying in sin and headed for hell, God made room for hope. And hope was for those, God created hope for those with unpaid debt. And the debt of sin can never be paid by any human being. It had to be paid by God because it would take perfect sinless blood to do that. And so God, in that manger that day, lay hope. God made room for hope. God made room for grace. I'm sure glad that God did. Everything that we have is of grace. We're saved by grace. It's an act of God's grace to send the Holy Spirit. It's an act of God's grace to save you and I. It's an act of God's grace to give us eternal life. It's an act of God's grace to give us eternal destination, a place to go, something to live for, someone to live for, and an eternity to live for. And I thank God for grace. The book of Titus chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That would be Christ. And that grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we know that God gave room, made room for grace for you and I. Amen. I know we hear a lot about grace today, and some people seem like they had too much, but anyway, get by with nearly anything. But anyway, there's room for grace. Thank God that He gave grace to people. And yet there was no room for the Son of God to be birthed No motel, no facilities for the rich and famous, just a stable. That was all that was available. And so there was no room, but they made room for the Son of God the best they could in that day. And they didn't know this was the Son of God. But second of all, the hope of all humanity hung upon the virgin birth of Christ. Some today doubt the virgin birth or dismiss it as a fable. Some say that it was just the son of a Roman soldier. Let me tell you something. All Christianity hangs upon the virgin birth of Christ. It's very important. Because without God being the Father, there could be no sinless blood to pay for sinful man's sins. But the virgin birth was very necessary. Amen. There could be no human born sinless because of Adam's sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And there's no way there could be a sinless sacrifice unless God became man, and he did. And it is a supernatural conception. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." In Jewish thinking, to be a son of somebody was to be equal with them. And so Jesus, being the Son of God, was equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's who Jesus is. Praise God. So all this was done, the book of Matthew tells us, that was might be fulfilled, which is spoken through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and will bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Man. And that's a wonderful thing for humanity today, that God would come down to where we are. But more than that, he's not just some figure that we see on stage somewhere. But personally, God can be with us in our individual lives and care about each of your individual needs personally. That's the reason we call it as receiving Christ as your personal Savior, because God can be so personal in this. Amen. You say, how can he do this? He can do this because he's God and he knows what to do. He created humanity. He knows how to indwell us. He knows how to talk to us. He knows how to help us. He knows how to walk with us. He knows how to strengthen us. I want to tell you, friend, whatever you may be going through today, if you know Christ is your Savior, you're not alone. Jesus said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." You're not alone. He is God with us. Hallelujah. Not that we deserve it. And not that we've done some great thing that attracted his attention, that thinks he belongs, that he has to come here and do this. He had to do nothing. He did it all because he loved you and he loved his human race that he created. And so, my friend, we should always have room for him. Plenty of room. Praise the Lord. We think of the word room in the carnal realm. One evangelist got up that was very comical in his reports, and he said, "I never heard of a three-bedroom, two-bath house." He said, "We had three rooms and a path." But people make room for what they want to do. People make room for houses, lands. People make room for entertainment, room for sports of all kinds. Amen. You can see it every Sunday afternoon if you want to. Amen. They make room for football. They may miss church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, but they got 3 hours to spend with a football game on Sunday afternoon. Amen. If that convicts you, let it convict you. Amen. But we make room for things that we like. But are we so caught up with earthly things that we don't have room for the Creator, the ends of the earth? We don't have room for the Redeemer, the room for the giver of hope and forgiveness and love and eternal life. My friend, we better make room for God in our lives. Not just room, but he must become our life and the reason that we live. Praise God, because we want to be with him forever. And he's made room in heaven for you. Amen. Praise God. Thank God. Can I just expound on that a little bit? The Bible says we usually hear this at funerals, but it's not a funeral passage, really. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. room. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise of Scripture. That's a promise of God. Amen. Jesus didn't just come one time. Yes, He came the first time, and He came a powerful time. He came to make a sacrifice for sin, complete the plan of redemption, so that you and I may have eternal life. But I'm here to tell you today, He will return in the clouds of heaven one day at the sound of a trumpet. He's coming back powerfully and wonderfully. He will return just like He said He would. Hallelujah. And so people make room for whatever they want to spend their time and their attention to. I went to a man's house years ago. Wasn't here. It wasn't you. But I went into his house just to visit him. We had some Christian fellowship. He was a Christian. And I went in. And when I went into his house, they had there were Elvis things everywhere. Elvis, pictures of Elvis, things that reminded you of Elvis. And he looked at him and he said, "My wife likes Elvis." I said, "Oh, really? I noticed." Elvis is dead, even though somebody might have seen him yesterday. He's still dead. And so our room was full of things. She had room for Elvis. I don't know if she had room for Christ. I hope she did. But you see, people make room for things that they give attention to, or the things that they value. So shouldn't we value who Christ is, make room for Him? Amen. In Christmas time, people make room for carnal things that have nothing to do with Christ, His virgin birth, God's gift to save humanity. People make room for no celebration for God giving a means of deliverance from death and sin. People don't make room for many things until it gets to the point where they want to die, and all of a sudden they become interested in eternal things. But you know, God made room for us. Made relationship with us so we might be delivered from judgment. Because you see, without Christ, without the cross, without Jesus dying on the cross, all that's left for you and I is judgment. And it won't be good. But Jesus took judgment upon Himself on the cross. He paid for our sins with His own blood. I know I'm getting from the birth to the death. That's okay. And so God wanted to save us from judgment that is coming to this world. This world is going to be judged. God's not going to let wickedness go on forever. It's coming a time and it'll get to the level when God has to judge it in His righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10 says, "For they themselves declare concerning what manner of entry we had to you." This is Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica that he founded. "And how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the true and living God, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." So we know that judgment is going to come upon this world, but God sent His Son, amen, that came in humanity, in the virgin birth, to provide a sinless sacrifice for you and I, because He loved us, to save us from the wrath to come and judgment to come. Amen. And so people make room for sales and for gifts for family and friends. And there's nothing wrong with having gifts or receiving gifts or giving gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. But my friend, this thing happens that we forget about Christ so much, as this is so commercialized, Christmas is, that people all they have in mind is making another dollar. And it's all right to give gifts and it's all right to receive gifts, but it's not all right to leave God out of your life. You've got to make room for God, and He's got to be the center of your life. That's what it has to be. Last of all, is there room for Christ in your life today? There's an empty spot in all humanity that can never be filled with anything but God. There's a parable that Jesus told. He told a bunch of them. But He told a parable called the parable of the rich fool. And not all rich people are fools. A few of them are, but some of them are not. But in Luke 12:19, it says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. He thought he had it made in this parable here. I've got this thing figured out. I've got life figured out. I can go on for a long time. I'll probably live a long time. You know, I've got good health. My ancestors lived long lives. I'll probably live a long life too. So I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to live it up. I've got plenty of time. But God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He had it all made, he thought, but he wasn't ready to meet God. He had made no room for God in his life, and his soul would be lost forever. Even though he had plenty of this world's goods, they would be worthless the moment he stepped into eternity. And people search the world over to find something that will satisfy deep longing in their inner being. They may search through entertainment, they do, through addictive things, through travel, through possessions. People search for something that will satisfy the longing in their soul that will fill the gap some way or another. And people may own all there is in the world but have no peace in their heart concerning where they're going to spend forever. My friend, God came to give you that peace. God came to lift the guilt and the shame of sin from your life and give you eternal life and so that you can have peace about where you're going to spend forever. Amen. And you can't purchase that. You can't plan it. You can't buy it. All you can do is ask God, and He will freely give peace and hope and forgiveness of sins and lift the shame and the guilt of sins committed in the past. And will give you hope for forgiveness for whatever you may fail in the future. Finally, if there's no place for God and Jesus in people's lives, and they feel empty, unsatisfied, not at peace, no joy, no hope, but simply empty. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Without form and void, meaning it was empty. Until God spoke life into this planet that we live in. It was empty. And people's lives without God are empty and void, like planet Earth before God created it. Okay? You don't want your life to be empty and void. And many people's lives are empty because they've made no room for Jesus in their lives. But when Jesus is welcomed into a person's life, my friend, there's room for joy. There's room for hope. There's room for a song of the redeemed. There's room for the songs about heaven. My friend, when you come to Jesus, you have something to sing about. You don't have to get together and sing with people about losing your last love. Amen. You don't have to worry to sing lonesome songs. You know, you use a song one time name, the last word in lonesome is me. Well, it may be. Amen. But it didn't have to be that way with you. You can know Christ as your Savior and know that you're not alone and that God is with you. I want to tell you this. Jesus came to Bethlehem. He didn't come just to make a Christmas story. He came to live in your heart and your soul. He came to do something about humanity that it needed, that it couldn't do for itself. He came to give life and give it more abundantly. God. And so we have something to sing about. We have a future to sing about. We have a heaven to sing about. And singing about heaven is not just a way of escape. My friend, it's literal, it's real. And you're going to go there one day if you know Christ as your Savior. Not only go there, but stay there with Christ forever. Amen. So God came on the scene and brought life. And in our scripture reading earlier, there was no room for Him in the end. And I fear sometimes that people just get so far away from God, even Christians drift and begin to make less and less room for God in their lives. And eventually they figure out that they have no room for God and they're backslidden and turned away from God. That does not need to be you, my friend. If it is you, you need to repent and give your heart back. He'll take you back. He loves you. He came into humanity to save you. Amen. So don't let it be said of you that there is no room for Christ in my life, but let's make room for Him today. Praise God. Sister Norma is going to sing a song. Listen to it. This will always be the altar call, also be the altar call. And if you feel your need to come forward and pray, please do this morning. That doesn't mean you're weak because you come pray. It means you're strong. Amen. There's room for Christ, and there's room for the cross, at the cross for you and for me and for all of us. Praise God. Sister Norma.
Today, just as it's always been, no room. He's not looking for entrance into a crowded inn or acceptance from a Roman crowd. No, he's seeking acceptance into your heart. But we're busy going places, seeing people, making a living. We don't have room for him. He's waited before. He won't force his way in. He just knocks gently at your heart's door. I'm sure he wonders why it's not enough that he made you, made a special place in your life that only he could fill. But you don't have time. There's no room for him.
Today.